Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to my podcast, Introverted Queen, where I, an introvert, have conversation with other introverts about living in an extroverted world. If this is your first time tuning in, welcome. If you are a returning listener, thank you so much for listening, supporting, and sharing these episodes. Community is so important. As I've gotten older, I've really taken to heart the meaning of it takes a village, because it really does. Whether you're part of a book club, a mommy group, a church community, or even a group fitness class, we all thrive to be part of a space where we belong and where we can meet like-minded people. Nowadays, online community has grown so much, and there's value in networking with others. Networking isn't only for professional development, but it also is great for collaborating with others. My guest this week is Asha. She is an undisputed introvert and a people connector who has built an amazing online and offline community with like-minded women of color. We talked about why there was a need to build a community, what does success mean to her, and how to stay motivated as a community builder. It's a great episode. Check it out. Hi, Asha.
Hello, Cindy.
How are you?
I'm great. How's it going?
I am good. I'm so excited to talk to you today.
Me too.
I feel like we know each other, but I know we've never met.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. So who is Asha?
I would say, first and foremost, a self-professed introvert as well. Sister, daughter, auntie, a connector of people, a leader of a group. Also somebody who has really come into herself in my 30s and into my 40s. And somebody who loves to challenge and shift narratives that are out there. I have particular fun with that one. So yeah, those are some different things.
Awesome. You said connector of people. So I know you've built a community that connects Black women. Can you talk a little bit more about that and what inspired you to start that?
Yes. So I am the founder of the Black Queens of Durham Region. So I'm somebody who has lived in the Durham Region for almost 30 years now. So way back when there were still some farms and cows and stuff down the street. And a couple of things happened to kind of bring it together in terms of the timing. There was a lot of like racial unrest at that time. So I know we've had waves of racial unrest. And I mean, obviously, it's been happening for decades and decades and centuries. But there were a couple of times where, mixed with social media, a lot of things came to light. So 2017 was one of those times, one of those summers where there were a couple of shootings and things like that. And I just had a lot of just negative energy and anger about what was happening and needed to find kind of a way to channel that into something constructive and positive, or else I would have imploded. Also, living in Durham Region for a long time, the population of Black people in the Durham Region has grown over time, but I still find that we were often isolated. So I wanted to kind of see, you know, you'd go to something downtown or in the West End, and if you ask somebody where they were from, to find out they live in Durham Region, and it's like, what, I've never seen you there, all that sort of thing. And then, yeah, just kind of being up here, wanting to live up here, but always having to go outside of Durham to go to things. So just wanted to kind of create that presence here and create the space for people to connect. And then I know, as like a Black person growing up in Durham Region in the 80s and 90s, being the only Black person often in my class, one of few in my school, I knew what it was like to kind of feel like you're a little bit on the outside. Plus, on top of that, being a little bit of a shy kid, I knew that it was important to kind of create safe space for people and create a space where you can kind of feel a sense of belonging, find your people, even, you know, as a fellow introvert, listening to some of your other episodes, listening to introverts kind of say, yeah, I deal with this, I deal with that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I deal with the same thing. So it's kind of like, I think it's just important to be able to kind of find your people, even if, you know, we all have to exist out there in the world. But if you can find little spaces where you can kind of connect with your people. I think it's energizing, it's refreshing, it's empowering, and then you can still get back out there in the world and do what you have to do, but kind of know that you can always come back to a space. To find your people. So it's very intentional what I do there. However, I did not expect it to grow as big as it's grown till today and still growing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool what you started. And I feel like there's so many resources in that group, right? Like, I feel like people are always trying to help one another. Like, somebody's looking for something, a babysitter, you name it. Somebody knows somebody, and then you just connect. So I love that. Yeah.
So it's definitely, I would say it has become a hub of information and resources to kind of get what you need to get, along with like information support, all sort of wrapped up in one.
Yeah. Do you see the importance of building like a meaningful community?
Yeah, I just think that like it's important, especially for people of color, to have safe space with others who get them. So there are certain experiences that are shared experiences, whether your background's Caribbean background, African background, you have maybe parents who've immigrated here. There's certain things that we just, you understand, mm-hmm. that you don't have to explain. Like, you don't have to explain the way maybe you grew up with your parents because other people have had the same experience. So I think it's just important that, again, you're out in the world and sometimes you're dealing with things, that you can kind of come back into a little bit of a cocoon, if you will, to kind of just like breathe and relax and exhale and have people who just get what you have experienced. Mm-hmm. So whether it's, you know, experiences as a Black person in the workplace, often, you know, you might say that I think I had a microaggression happen, or I think something, and other people might say, oh, that, I'm sure that's not what they meant. And, you know, you get the gaslighting there, and then you come into the group and you might explain the same thing and you're just like, oh girl, that happened to me last week. And then there's nothing to explain, because mm-hmm. you have your people that you get. And I just think having positive relationships are so, so important. I feel as though as we get a little bit older, you might get into your, you know, late 30s, 40s. And I mean, we have people from all ages into the group, but I think that sometimes relationships and friendships can change. And people might say, oh, it's hard to make friends in your 30s or 40s. And I believe that, you know, there are so many great people out there that even as you get older, like, you know, connect with and find that connection. And, you know, the group kind of really grew during the pandemic, even where people were isolated. So the group really became a space for people to connect. But there's nothing like good, genuine relationships. And at the core of sort of our mission and vision, as much as we're doing a lot of bigger things, has always been connecting, building genuine relationships. So even though there's thousands of people in the group, I always encourage, like, we're not going to all be best friends because we're not always going to agree on everything. But even if you come in the group and you find like one new friend, two new friends that you can actually make that deep. And as an introvert, you understand, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily want the surface relationships. It's just like the real genuine connections. If you can find somebody that you can make that connection with, for me, we have done our job and we've been successful with that.
Mm-hmm. It's funny you mention, you know, friendships or finding like a community in your 30s, you know, 40s. And I find myself having that conversation a lot with friends.
Yeah.
And sometimes you think you're the only one, right? Like, it's like, oh, I'd like to find, you know, somebody who lives nearby so we can just hang out or whatever. And then you realize that a lot of people are trying to find that same tribe. And it's like, how come nobody's talking about it?
it's important. I mean, if you've grown up, so for example, you've come from out of town, you've now mm-hmm. moved here. We have people like, I'm an Ajax. You may have some friends you grew up with. I might be an Ajax. They might be in Brampton, Mississauga. And then people, you know, they might have kids and stuff like that. So you start like, maybe you see each other, unless you're very intentional. And then COVID happens. Maybe you see each other once every, I don't know, right? So, and you know, when you're older, it's hard to like walk up to somebody and just be like, hey, do you want to be my friend? But like, you know, I've had people in the group that's just like, okay, you know, I connected with this person to get my hair done and now we're friends, or I connected with this person and my kid goes to the same dance class. So it's just like, it's kind of like maybe you didn't set out to be best friends with that person, but maybe through the group you connected some other way. And you know, once you get into somebody's presence and you kind of get that chemistry, it's either there or it's not, right? Either yeah. you kind of gel with somebody or you don't. So hopefully in those connections where you maybe you were looking to do something else and you end up running into somebody. So I've had now people who said, you know, I went just to do this, but then we got talking and then we went out for a coffee and now our kids play together or now we do. So I hope that that can happen. And in those interactions that people will find their person or, you know, a friend or two or three or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because I think as a person who's an introvert, I'm not going to go walk up to somebody, you know, exactly. and say hi, but somebody
even
did
want to.
Yeah. And somebody did that to me this week. I was leaving work and I saw this girl that I had just passed like in the hallway at work and she's like, hi. And I'm like, hi. And then we started talking and then she walked me to the subway and we were just, you know, connecting over work. And I'm like, I don't think I have the courage to do this. And I thought it was so cool that she did that. So, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. And again, you may want to, because sometimes I'd be sitting there like, oh my gosh, you know, back in the day, I may go to the coffee shop and like do things and you may see somebody who's just like, oh, if I was like a little bit more not so shy, I might just go and say hello or yeah. talk to them, right? But sometimes even with the group, it gives me sort of that like excuse to be like, oh, have you heard of our group before?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh,
so
yeah.
I may get out of my comfort zone and actually approach somebody under the guise of the group.
Yes.
But it's, you know, because then it may seem a little weird if I was just like, hey, do you want to be my friend?
Because yeah. we used to do this when we were kids. Hey, do you want to be my friend? My name is Cindy and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now it would just feel weird, but there are times when I can say I genuinely would want to do that, but I just don't have it.
Yeah.
I just don't have it in me.
So what does success mean to you?
Oh, success. I love that question so much because different things. I would say success for me is freedom. So freedom to do what I want. Success is also growth to me. So I know one of your episodes you had, the Spocker Reads.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, so I love to read. So, you know, and just being able to kind of decide for myself that I'm going to continue to improve who I am. So for me, that feels good when I'm challenging myself to always be better. Success means being able to make a contribution. So with the group, knowing that it's making a difference, like that really feels good and fulfilling to me. And then just good relationships. I've had different periods of my life where it's just like, okay, you're going hardcore for the goals. And then at the end of that, realizing I've neglected relationships. So relationships and cultivating. And even though, you know, I have a big group, I have a very small circle. And that's another reason for the group is just like having a really great circle of close friends. My sisters are really close. I'm close with them as well. So knowing what that feels like, I wanted others to experience that if they didn't. But yeah, good relationships to me also mean success. So yes, financial success, but not at the expense of the people in your life that you say are important.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I think it's one of my favorite questions to ask because I feel like that question has changed. Like the answer to that question has changed so much since the pandemic. So I think people before it was, oh, you know, financial or, you know, get to the top of your career. Yeah. And now I feel like people have gotten into a different phase where it's like about relationships, you know, health, happiness, mental health. Yeah. So it's really interesting to see the shift.
Yes, good health as well. And I think I kind of came into that a little bit, I would say luckily a little bit earlier because I was going for some goals. So I would say the shift happened for me, definitely pre-pandemic and then the pandemic. I feel like I saw that come out for people, but I was kind of like, I made the mistakes a little bit earlier. And for me, the pandemic was a reinforcement of what I had already learned, kind of learned the hard way.
Yeah. How do you stay motivated as a community builder?
Oh, some days I'm just like, what the heck did I get myself into? And again, introvert, some days I'm just like, I just want to just like go read a book, maybe watch some Netflix and just leave me alone.
Yeah.
But what keeps me motivated, definitely on the days where I'm kind of questioning, like, should I have started this? It's really the testimonials that come in. So it's that one person, one every so often, that says, thank you so much for starting the group. I was able to find, you know, something as simple as I was able to find somebody to bake my kid's cake for their birthday. And it turned out to, I was able to find a job. I was able to find an apartment. Yeah. So it's the testimonials, definitely. I would say the people that come and just say, thank you. It's like the thank you for me makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then I can just like, all right, I can go another day.
You don't have to shut everything down.
Yeah, exactly. And then, yeah, no, when we, the pandemic, obviously we didn't have any in-person events. So being able to do our anniversary event, we had our 5-year anniversary. This is our 5-year anniversary, actually. Mm. So we had our anniversary in October, and then we just did our big holiday market this past Saturday. So when I do the events and see the people come together in person, and I can kind of like, there's kind of an energy that the queens kind of bring to a room. So when I'm in that, that's also keeps me motivated. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When we do events, I mean, planning and the events is a lot of work. So we don't do a lot through the whole year, but when we do it, that I think that also re-energizes me, even though I have to do, you know, you get the introvert, the hangover the next day of like all these people being on for the whole day.
Yeah.
So it took a couple of days for recovering, but yeah, it was really inspiring, encouraging, and kind of, I would say keeps me going when I see people in person being a part of the experience that we've kind of, that tone that, and the culture that we've created, just kind of see it in person is really neat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I find the in-person events, there's always such a huge turnout. Like, I'm like, wow, like people really show up to support. Yeah. And I like that. Yeah. It's nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So really, really, really proud of that.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have to give somebody who wants to start something from scratch?
Yeah, I would say for that one is really finding a problem or something happening that you can solve and bring some sort of solution to. And if you also have like a personal experience with it, I think that's even better, because that to me brings kind of a genuineness. It brings like authenticity to what you want to do. And again, I read a lot of like, you know, the personal development books and the business books and stuff like that. So I'm really careful even with myself, is if I see myself complaining about something, complaining, if I'm at a certain point, it's just like, either you're going to get a solution to that or you need to stop complaining. So it's really about like finding something that you can make better.
Mm-hmm. I like that attitude. Like, you're complaining about something for so long. It's like, okay, if you're not going to do anything about it, just stop.
Just stop. And yeah. And I mean, I hold my people in my life accountable to that. It's like, are you talking about that again? Because like you're getting to your limit of me. You're at some point, you're gonna have to go talk to somebody else about it. Because if you're not gonna do something about it, then I'm not gonna let you sit here and continue to harp on the same thing. So yeah,
that's good. What's the best advice that you've ever gotten?
That's a hard question. And again, because like I read so many books, so I'm just like, did I get this from a book or did like somebody tell me? So much great advice that I've received and read. I would say I've read a lot of great advice over the years. So when I had to kind of choose that, so I have a lovely coach. Her name is Donna. Shout out to Donna, who I've worked with on and off over the years. And one of the things we had talked about over this last year was just infusing fun. So I don't know if it's like the introvert in me or because I was the eldest child or what, but I've always been a super responsible big sister, doing all what I had to do, the well-behaved, the all that stuff, the polite child. And I feel as though that made me sometimes just not have fun. Because there was no time for fun. There were things that needed to get done. Yeah. So I feel that in my late 30s into my 40s is the time that I can probably say, like, I've been having the most fun that I've ever had. And she just encouraged me to bring fun and enjoyment into every day. So I can say that I intentionally decide to that I'm going to enjoy every day. And the little kid that was being very responsible is now getting a chance to come out and play. So I'm a 42-year-old. I think I'm 42, going on 43. but I just feel like a big kid, and I'm excited to just continue to have fun.
I love that you said like you want to have fun, because I think sometimes we think we have fun often, but if we actually think about it, we don't. So I think when you actually set your mind and like, okay, today I'm going to have some fun, you actually do have some fun. Because when you said that, I'm thinking, when was the last time I had fun? And then I'm like, yesterday? No, it wasn't yesterday. Was it the day before? No, it wasn't.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. So I just think that there doesn't have to be an age limit to that. And it doesn't have to be like a big thing. So I just bring fun and playfulness into all my interactions. And it's been, it's so good. It's so good. I'm actually like, I'm excited to continue to do that and excited about my life.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So who's been the biggest influencer in your life?
Ooh, I would say off the top of my head, my sisters. I would say that. Yeah, so I've got three lovely sisters. And even though I'm, again, the eldest and kind of led the way, they've come up and they're just really brilliant, compassionate. And everybody has their own personality, but they're just phenomenal people. So even if they weren't my sisters, those would be one of the people that I'd be like, I want to be your friend. Mm-hmm. So I get to have sisters and friends all in one. But yeah, they're really just phenomenal human beings. So I would say they influence me the most. And maybe, you know, a little Oprah, a little bit of Michelle Obama, a little drizzle of those amazing ladies in there. But that's my answer off the top of my head without getting a chance to kind of like think about it. But yeah, my sisters for sure.
That's great. I think also when you have sisters, you realize that you have a friend for life, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Absolutely. And I mean, I know not everybody is able to have that kind of relationship. So I appreciate that. It's not automatic, but I definitely have that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, Asha, this was amazing. Thank you for being here. Thank you for chatting with me.
Of course. Of course. I love it. Love your podcast. When I seen it, I'm just like, that's me. This is me. So just love the interviews, and that there's, you know, a space for those of us who have had that experience. And again, to just hear your other guests and who they are. And I'm just like, I just relate so much to all of them. So I love what you're doing. So thank you so much for asking me to be here. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That was such a great conversation I had with Asha. I hope you found it insightful just as much as I did. One thing I took away from this conversation is that there is power in community. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend, leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts, and please subscribe. Also, if you enjoy this content and you want to support, please feel free to donate, and the PayPal link is in the show link. Follow me on Instagram at introverted_queenblog. Thank you so much for tuning in. Take good care, and until next time.